Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast with Nicolene Peck. Improving your life, uniting your family, changing the world.
Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast. I'm Nicolene Peck and I'm joined here with my daughter, Paige Baumert. Hi, Paige.
Howdy doody.
Howdy doody. I like that. You know, that used to be a TV show back in the day. That was even before my day. Yeah. There was a show called Howdy Doody.
Amazing.
Yeah. It was like a little cowboy puppet show. I think I might have seen it once, but that was before my time. That might have been my parents' time when they were little. Anyway, so today, Paige, we're going to talk about bossiness. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think this is actually a good topic for us to discuss. I think there's a lot of families who find themselves struggling with bossy children. And it gets to be a little bit grating on the nerves sometimes. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. I know you've experienced it yourself. And you know what? I have too. So we're going to talk about...
No.
We're going to talk about bossy children. But before we do, we are going to first have a fun family activity idea. Paige, do you have any kind of an activity for us today?
Oh, 100%. This is going to be the activity for the opposite of bossy, which is so nice. Now, this kind of hailing back to some older games or anyway, but
we'll call them classic.
The classics. There you go. More vintage classic. Yeah.
That's right.
Now, you know, we've obviously got Simon Says, which is very bossy. It encourages the bossy, but we're not doing that. We're going to play Mother May I. Now, if you are unfamiliar with this game, you should be able to look it up on Google pretty easily and figure out the rules. But basically, you have children stand like on a line kind of far away, like you would for Red Rover or something. And then they have to ask, say, Mother May I take 5 steps or whatever it is. And the person playing the mother says yes or no. And then...
Yes, you may, or no, you may not.
That's yes. Right. That's right. All the proper language. Anyway. And so then children proceed or do not proceed, depending on the response they receive from mother. Anyway. But I
and
thought
the point
this game...
is the first person to reach mother first and be able to touch her wins and gets to be the next Mother May I. So, but the Mother May I does have quite a bit of control over this.
Yes. So Mother May I could be bossy if...
if done improperly. But the idea is yes. Roles, though, right? We want to...
Correct.
We want to understand what is a role. What is the mother's role? And is the mother supposed to be bossy? I don't know. We could debate that. In fact, maybe we will debate that today.
Maybe.
But for sure, it is not a child's role to... be the mother of their siblings and or to mother their parents, you know,
right.
Back, which is a thing that can happen sometimes.
But so, it's also a really good game to segue into, like, especially if you're teaching your children the 4 basic skills, if you want to help them learn disagreeing appropriately or even really just how to follow an instruction or how to accept a no answer. No, you may not. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really great game where you can, you know, instead of taking 5 steps or whatever, you can use it as a role play to have them do different tasks or say, you know, Mother, may I go lay on the couch for, you know, 10 seconds or whatever it is, right? And give them the opportunity to either have their question answered positively, say, yeah, sure, or yes, you may, or no, you may not. And then they get the opportunity to accept a no answer or to ask to disagree appropriately. Mother, may I disagree appropriately, right? So you could throw your own rule in there. Mm-hmm. But it's just a fun way to start integrating teaching self-government and to teach it in a fun way.
Yeah. And really everyone loves role-playing games. Mm-hmm. And so this is actually the basics of role-playing games. You know, when we are young, we pretend to be mommies and daddies and children and pets and all these little things that we
all the things
pretend to be when we're tiny. We're role-playing and trying to figure out all the pieces and players and people in our world. And And this is where role playing begins, is within the family and understanding that family dynamic. It's so often that people are encouraging their children to pretend to be superheroes and play those roles or to play roles in other games before they learn to play what the roles are in the family. And discussing those family roles together. So anyway, good game. I love it. Okay, so in this podcast, we're going to be discussing how to handle bossy children, which is our topic here today. But we're going to look through that lens of self-government. And Paige, you've already been hinting to that just a little bit. So what is the definition of self-government?
The definition of self-government is being able to determine the cause and effect of any given situation and possessing a knowledge of your own behaviors so that you can control them.
Yeah, and how has self-government helped you? Now, I know you're not perfect.
No.
And even though I'm the person who is the head of the teaching self-government movement, I'm not perfect. I've made a lot of strides in my life towards self-government, but I continue to work on my self-government on a regular basis. But what has it done for you, Paige?
I think one of the biggest things it's really helped me been able to analyze my different situations or words that come out of my mouth and how they affect people around me or stuff like that. Just that analysis and emotionally non-biased analysis, which I think is key. And I think I really started cluing into this once I hit my early to mid-teen years, but even more so once I became a parent and was then in charge of curating my social circumstances and my friends and, all those things. It really helped me to see how, maybe a behavior that I was doing or something that I thought was funny was actually maybe off-putting to other people, or words that I would say would elicit a response from my child that I didn't appreciate or that was not conducive to the home culture I'm trying to build. Stuff like that. But being able to analyze my thoughts and feelings and my actions all, in one big package that they come in and seeing in a very logical sense how they impact me and those around me.
Well, and so really you're talking about personal refinement, because that's really what it means to govern yourself is to become the best version of yourself that you can be. And it does require self-analysis and examining yourself and saying what's going on. And instead of seeing that as like, oh no, I'm going to see how bad I am, it's like, oh, now I'm going to be able to move forward because now I can see something to actually work on and I can decide that this is a healthy thing instead
See,
of
and
something
the
where I need
choice
to
to
change
actually
back.
work on it too.
Oh yeah, you got to make that choice.
That's sometimes the hardest part.
And you got to decide how to process it, because you could analyze yourself and then decide you're a horrible person, which I think
And then
people
play
are
the victim.
tempted to. Yeah, you could be like, I'm a victim of, or I'm just never, I'm no good. I'm worthless, to start self-loathing yourself. I mean, that's an option. Anybody has that option. But if you're working towards self-government, then you're going to say, good, I found something that I can work on. I know I'm not perfect at it, but now
What are
I
my
know,
next steps?
yeah, but now I'm going to have steps in a direction that I want to head. I know which direction I'm going. And so this is a very positive thing, actually, for people. So good stuff, good stuff. Okay, so we're going to look through this lens of self-government as we discuss how to handle bossy children. So let's talk about the dynamic. What's possibly happening in people's homes with bossiness, and maybe get into why this is happening. Now, I know that it can happen with younger children and it can happen with older children. Let's first talk about how it happens with older children. I think lots of times when we think of bossiness, we think of older children. We say, okay,
I'm the complete opposite, to be honest.
you think of the younger. Okay.
I do.
Well, that's because you
But
have
go for it.
younger. Yeah, but
That's
that's
true.
because you have younger. So I raised a bossy child. Her name was Paige.
No.
So Paige was of all you, Paige, of all of
I
my
know.
children, you were the bossy one. But let me tell you why you were bossy, because you could see exactly what needed to happen. You were like, I see that. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. I'm sticking to what's right, or I'm telling you to do it exactly what's right. Even if you didn't do it right yourself all the time, you still wanted to make everybody else do it right. There you
Looks that's
were.
one of the positive slash negative side effects of a strong-willed child, right?
Well, and just like the maternal, like, I know what you should do. You know, that doesn't mean I'm doing, but I know what you should do. And
Exactly.
I, yeah, anyway. And so, and you've always had that little maternal side where you wanted to help everybody become the best they could and stuff like that. And from the time you were 7 years old, I had to start talking to you about your bossiness because you would boss your big brother around and then you
We
would
needed
boss,
it.
and then you were bossing your siblings
Love
around.
you, Quinn. Love you.
You were bossing your cousins around and you wanted to boss your mom and dad around. You wanted
Man.
to tell everyone what they could do and what they couldn't do and what was right and what was wrong. And you had it nailed down. And
That's right.
the thing is that when a person gets a little bit bossy, either A, they just are controlling and like to be in control, or B, which I believe was your case, is they just have a strong sense of what is right.
Strong moral
And they,
compass, yeah.
yeah, they have this very strong belief of we need to do this right. And so we're going to make sure that everybody does it right. But then you get into controlling really fast.
Yes.
And if you don't consider your role in that moment, then things could take over. So I'm going to talk about older children. Paige used to babysit her younger siblings. And even when she was with her older brother, he would actually. So the problem was, your older brother was laid back enough that he would actually allow you to boss him around a little bit because he was like, oh, okay. And he would just kind of go with it sometimes. I mean, sometimes he'd make push back a little bit, but not very often. He was a little bit more like, kind of, I don't know, obliging to you. And so he'd sort of let it happen, but your younger siblings was like, they were like, Mom, this is a
There's a
problem.
problem.
Yeah, she is so bossy, and she is, and before your older brother even noticed how bossy you were, I noticed the bossiness, and I kept trying to, tell you that's a no answer. You don't get to do that. That's not your role. And so again and again, you were getting corrected for bossiness. And I would tell you, you have to not say anything. But then it seemed like that when I wasn't there, there were times where you would just jump right back into that because you had a really leadership kind of dominant personality like that, which is not a bad thing, actually. It just means you have a very strong personality.
It just
But
takes time to
you.
cultivate and, put it where it needs to be.
Yeah, so I had to make a few rules. I had to say because they felt like you were being too bossy, I had to say, "Okay, you can correct them and tell them, hey, you've earned an extra chore for that and like do the steps to a correction." And I don't want to give the impression at all that just telling someone
When
to
I was
do
babysitting, right?
chore, is a right, only when you were babysitting, when you had the role to be able to do a correction. There are seven steps to a correction. One of those steps is to tell them what consequence they earned, but they wouldn't actually do that consequence then until I got home. So at first, I was letting you follow all the way through with it, but then there was a time where I said, you know what, when I get home, then I will
You'll
hear
take over
from
and
you
handle
what
it. Yeah.
happened. And if they need to earn a negative consequence, then they will do it. I will tell them what the negative consequence is. So that didn't make you now a taskmaster, which just then would
Right.
feed that bossiness and would make them resent that you were in charge of them as the older sister sometimes. And so we kind of tried to keep a little bit of that in check, but talking about roles was a key thing for the olders. And I think they have to know so often with the older ones, you ask them as the parent to help you, like, hey, can you watch over so and so? Can you help with so and so? And then you, when they're really into their work, when they're like pretty much parenting now, sometimes it's nice to be like, oh, well, that's nice. They're just sort of doing my job for me. But then when they're bossy, you're like, stop it. Don't be so bossy. It's like, well, I mean,
Yeah.
you just gave them all of this
There's a fine balance there.
authority and responsibility. So one thing you have to do is watch that you don't abdicate your role to them and then think they have a problem because that then could be on you, right? So you got to
Right. It's very
remember.
confusing, too.
And so, if you're going to put them in charge, they need to know, well, when you're in charge, your role becomes this. But then when I'm there, now the role is this. So you don't, they don't get to take over your role, and you are going to still claim those roles and responsibilities as the parent. And I think that's a really important thing. Now, Paige, when we're dealing with younger children and they're just asserting dominance, which actually older children sometimes assert dominance too. I do have to say, I've been to homes or I've helped with families where, you know, some of these oppositional, defiant youth, or autistic youth and ADHD, they try to assert a lot of dominance. And sometimes even get kind of aggressive. And this is where bulliness starts now. I mean, I shouldn't I say bully, bossy starts going into bully. Okay. So this is where we got bossy turning into bully, turning into aggressive. And so, if you don't rein it in and let them understand the roles and correct that bossiness, because that's a no answer when it's sooner, then you end up having a problem. So the sooner you can get a handle on it, the better. And let's talk about the sooner, because I know, Paige, you've seen some things with bossiness.
Seen some things.
Seen some things. You know, I do have to say, just today, I was with a group of little children. One of them was autistic. One of them was oppositional defiant. These are like little 4-year-olds. Another one was totally neurotypical, just normal. And these little children, I noticed how they were just going to be dominant. Like, I'm just going to do whatever I want. And the adults were like, well, okay, because he's oppositional, she's autistic, she's whatever. And they just allowed it to happen and didn't create any boundaries. And so the roles were totally messed up. And I just happened to come into the area and I was like, this is actually not okay.
Right,
Because
no, we're fixing this.
what about the poor neurotypical child who wants to learn
Who's now
something?
suffering?
This little group, yeah, and now there's no roles and everything's a mess because these other children are just being allowed to dominate. And so there's a lot of different reasons why people might become bossy, but we do have to do something about it. So what have you seen, Paige?
So, I mean, a lot of my experience comes from my own lovely child, my 4.5-year-old daughter, who is very strong-willed, just like her amazing mother. And, as some people would say, she's giving me a taste of my own medicine, right? But
That happens.
it does. In fact, multiple times on a daily basis, we come across where she's interacting with her siblings who are recently 2-year-old twins, and they will be doing something or invading her personal space or whatever it is, and she will suddenly snap at them and go, "Hey, stop it," or "Move," or whatever it is. And I have come to the realization that that is 100% my fault. Because as I've been reevaluating my self-government skills through different phases of children, and as they hit different phases in their growing up process, I've realized that I have to, I've become a bit more B when it comes to my parenting, and that's something that I've analyzed and realized, that's somewhere where I gotta pivot and change a little bit. But she has caught on to that. And so whenever she feels like something is not going the way it needs to go, even if I'm in the middle of doing a correction with my younger children, I say, "Hey, that's a no answer. I need you to not do that." In the middle of, she'll interrupt me and go, "So and so, stop it." And I go, "Oh, I don't need your help, honey. That's not your role." Right? And so it's been really interesting to watch as words that flew out of my mouth, 15 minutes previously are now coming out of her mouth in the same tone, directed
Ooh,
toward the same people.
that's humbling, isn't it? That's very humbling. So every parent hits a moment, and maybe it's one, maybe it's like, 100
A
moments. But
zillion.
yeah, but every parent hits a moment where they say, okay, I'm the one that said that. Oh, and or I taught that. That is actually my behavior. And it's so painful because we want to live in denial and think that isn't our behavior. You know,
Right,
we want to say, we want to say,
shoot.
that's not me. I didn't, I don't do that. My child, there's just something wrong with them, you know, but that's not
Yeah.
how it is. And they absolutely do follow our example. So I'm just gonna say, good for you for being so honest to know that it's probably coming from you. And this is gonna help you evaluate yourself a
Oh,
lot better.
100%. Yeah.
You know, as you look at yourself and say, wait, what do I want my tone to be? And should I be just going to a correction? Like, let's ask ourselves that, right? If this child
Yeah.
is, if there's someone that needs your attention, instead of going snap or boss, you know, as the parent, instead of going bossy, just go to the child, look at them in the eyes, put your hand on their little face so you remember to be soft and to care. And you look on and say, just now, this is what happened. This is what you did. This is not okay, right? But
Yeah.
going to them, that means taking steps. And I know you're pregnant, everything else, right? Sometimes when you feel entitled to sit because you don't feel like moving,
Well, and
you and
that's
I
part
should.
of where the snappiness has come, is because I'm like, my back hurts. I'm not getting up off this couch. Stop it.
Yeah, except for then you're not your good version of yourself,
I
right?
know. And that's part of the analysis that I've been doing too, is just saying, okay, it is worth it to get up off the couch and not be annoyed by the fact that I have to get up when I'm in pain or when I'm feeling large and in charge, but mostly large. And, you know, so, and that's part of the something, or part of the things that I've had to come to terms with
Oh,
at
yeah.
this current phase of life. Obviously, this isn't going to last forever, but,
No,
you know.
it's going to be gone soon. Parenting is about stepping out of the comfort zone again and again and again. And when you
Well,
want
and
to be on the
lowering tolerances
couch,
too.
yeah, when you want to be on the couch because you're not feeling good, or your back's hurting or whatever it is, you have to tell yourself, but what's better for them? It's not just about what I feel like. What's better for them? Like, my main job, even more than getting my back to feel better for a minute, my main job is to help them. I mean, I remember when you were little, when I had you and Quinn, and you were both little, and my back was so bad that I was getting like sometimes injections in it in order to try to get the swelling to go down in it, because it was, they were like, you're gonna probably have to have surgery soon. I never did have to, because we did some things, and but it was so bad, but I still was like holding two babies and doing everything all the time. I'm like, this
Right.
is what I have to do though, because even if it hurts too bad, like even if it hurts, and there's a point with a mother and with a father that that's what you do. You kind of pick up your cross and you carry it, because and don't call it a cross. It's like, but this is who I am, and this is who they need me to be, and it's short-lived. It's short-lived.
Yeah. Well, and for me recently, like when I noticed a behavior coming from Clara, I recognized, oh, it's a mirror I wasn't expecting to run into right now, but it's a mirror nonetheless,
That's
right? And
hard.
so
That's hard.
it's just reevaluating my expectations and reevaluating my tolerances as well, because when I get snappy, in fact, Joseph, my husband, has been really good at helping me identify where my tolerances are too high. You know, and I thought, I'm a super good mom. My tolerances are low. In fact, I probably say no more than I say yes, whatever it is. And he'll come home from work, and 5 minutes after he's been home, I'll go into something and he'll say, nope, that's a correction. Just now, you decided to talk to your mother this
Good
way.
man, good
I
man.
know. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Yes, my tolerances are a bit high.
Yeah. And you know what? Good job at admitting it, because that's actually why two is a nice dynamic to have. If you can have the two, and you've got husband and wife, where one is gone for a minute, they come back and they have fresh eyes, and they
Yeah.
see, and the other one can do the same. And okay, now we can have the both things going on there, which is really good. So, okay, so one reason that we can have bossiness is, well, they might be following what they have learned. When they're
Yes.
little, another reason is because they like to test their dominance when they're little. I mean, this starts when they're like 2 years old. They start saying no, and they start, trying to test
Oh,
that.
that's right where my twins are, 100%.
Yeah, they start testing that, and then once they test that little, like, I'm going to just assert the negative first. Well, okay, now I'm going to try to tell people what to do. First, I'm going to try to tell mommy what to do, and now I'm going to try to tell other people what to do, right? And if it works, they keep doing it. So you have to show them, oh, I'm sorry, that's not your role. We don't do that, right? And you have to put them in their place. And as nice as it sounds to say that children and parents are on equal footing, that is not how it is, okay? That's not how it is. It's not even what the word agency even really means. When a person has agency, that doesn't mean they have full freedom to choose whatever they want. That means they have a stewardship, which means they have a role, they have an identity that they have to live in accordance with. And so when your children are having agency in their childhood, they are supposed to be making choices within their stewardships, and it's our job to help them understand what those stewardships are at those times of life. And it can feel hard sometimes. Just today, as I was helping with these young children that I was talking about, one of them decided that he was gonna power struggle every which way he could, and he found himself, over against the wall crying at one point. I didn't put him there. He went
Like,
there.
probably because it works at home.
Exactly. No, totally, exactly. Yeah. And so he was, I can't draw my picture good enough. And so now I'm gonna cry, right? Well, so at first he was mad, and then he was gonna, and then it was something else, and then it was something else. And then he finally decided to try tears. And it didn't work for him. He didn't get any of the attention that he wanted for it. Nobody came chasing after him. I just looked over at him and said, "You're crying because you're not wanting to keep trying on your picture. You can try on your picture. Just come try again." And then I went back to the other children, right? And I just told him, that's not going to help you. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh. And he just stopped because he's just used to trying to find any way he can to get attention and to control. And this little boy was 4. So same age as little Clara, right? Of course, he apparently has oppositional defiant disorder anyway. And so maybe he has a little bit more that he's dealing with there. But even so, I think almost any 4-year-old could fall into that
Or, I
camp
mean, it
if
literally
they are
could
not
just be a
controlled.
misplaced, it could just be a misplaced label.
Yeah, if those children are not, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to question per se, but if those children are, whether they have oppositional defiance or whether they don't, they can't be taught that they get to control everything with their emotions, because then anyone around them, they're just gonna boss it all and tell them all what to do, which is gonna be a problem. So we have this just kind of developmental thing that happens when you're young too. But then if you've got younger siblings or pets, sometimes people boss their pets. Sometimes I mean, there's a lot of different things that people boss. So let's talk about what we should be doing then to stop this bossing. There's a lot of skills help with teaching self-government that could be really beneficial. Now, one of the biggest things, like we've been talking about all the way along, is to understand our roles and what those roles are. And there's a whole book on that. It's called Roles: The Secret to Family, Business, and Social Success. So that goes into a lot of detail there, just helping them understand who they are to these other people. And so why it's not okay to boss mommy around or anybody else around, at the same time. But there are some other things too that they need to know. And you hit on them. I think you mentioned disagreeing appropriately, right? And disagreeing appropriately is this skill where you seek to understand the other person, and then you share your point of view to that person. So you have to pause. You have to stop. You have to go to front brain, think about what they might be thinking, what they're caring about, what they're trying to accomplish. You've got to vocalize that and then share your point of view. And if you don't win the conversation, be able to accept that as a no answer anyway, that you didn't get your way. So now we bring in another one of our four basic skills, which is accepting no answers. So, and I think we could also probably bring in another skill, which is following instructions, because how often does bossiness happen like this? Mom says to the 15-year-old son, "Hey, I need you to go take the dog out for a walk." And the 15-year-old son goes to the 12-year-old daughter and says, "Hey, take the dog out for a walk."
Delegation and bossiness.
Yeah, I mean that happens. Whoa, hold on. Somebody is not
Nope.
following instructions here. Yeah, so all of those four basic skills are actually going to be really beneficial in helping with bossiness. So learn them all. I don't know if we're going to go into all the steps to all of them right now. Disagreeing appropriately has seven steps. Accepting no answers has four. Following instructions has five. But I think maybe let's hit quickly on disagreeing appropriately and on accepting no answers. So, Paige, how do you see disagreeing appropriately maybe helping with a 4-year-old and some 2-year-olds?
When it comes to like situations between them, usually I'll have to come into the situation and go, hey, whoa, no, you don't get to talk to your siblings that way. Okay, yep, I see that you're trying to help your brother give back the toy that he took away from his sister, or vice versa, you know, whatever it is. In a situation like this, you need to come talk to me. If you think something wrong is happening, you come talk to me. And you can ask to disagree appropriately, right? Or if you feel that it would be helpful, you can coach your siblings to do the same. You can say, hey, why don't you ask? Or asking could be good, you know. You can remind them in that way as well. But it is not your job to tell them what to do. And so then if she somehow feels like she's wronged in that way, then I would coach her to say, okay, and now if you have thoughts about this, you know, disagree appropriately. Or if she starts to talk back to me, because that is often the case, then I'll say, oh, it sounds like you want to disagree appropriately. Try that. But usually I don't have to remind her because it actually is her favorite skill. She uses it all the time to the point where, in fact, just today, my husband and I were like, we gotta put a cap on this because she disagrees appropriately about every instruction and every no answer we give her.
Well, because
So she now
actually
gets to do disagree.
she's created a good pattern for herself, right?
Yeah,
I
but
mean,
so we said,
yes.
okay, you get to disagree appropriately 6 times a day. We're going to help you analyze and see if you really want to use a disagree appropriately for this situation, or if you just need to accept the no answer.
Interesting. Well, see, I wouldn't actually cap it because that's going to create complexity in the family dynamic. If you're like, well, you're up to number four. Are you really sure you want to do that? Now it's going to turn into a power struggle and people are going to start shutting them off when they're going to front brain and they'll start complaining more. And so I actually probably wouldn't cap it, but I would explain at some point, hey, you want to save it for when it's important because if you do it all the time, you're probably going to hear no a lot more, right? And so
Yeah.
just explaining that to her that there's this law
It's
of
probably a better
averaging.
option, actually.
Yeah,
Yeah.
then capping it to a certain number a day, because they should be able to disagree appropriately about anything, but only once for each thing.
Right.
And
Correct.
so, and the thing is that you're right. So with 2-year-olds, it's going to be hard to disagree appropriately. And it would be a very mature thing for her to go to them, look in their eyes, and say, I understand that you want to play with this, but sister was playing with it first. So we need to come over and ask her. You need to ask her how to do it. That's going to be hard for her to be patient enough to get to that place
Well, and
to
to
do
remember to
it.
do that. So usually what I'll
Yeah,
tell
so
her is,
coming to get
hey,
you is a
come get
good
me.
thing. Yeah,
Yeah.
coming to get you is a good way to do it. And I think that's smart. I mean, you're going to probably deal with a little bit of
Yeah.
tattling that happens.
Well, and
And
with
so
her, we've come across where she tries to tell me and my husband what to do when we're in the middle of a situation. And so those are times where we can say, it sounds like you really want to disagree appropriately. How about let's try that? Because,
Yeah,
you know, we've
absolutely.
told her in the past, hey, that's really bossy. We don't talk like that. You don't get to tell us what to do. Try again. Because she's saying something because she sees that there's an injustice, at least from her perspective, or she thinks that maybe her input could be helpful. And so we want to show her that, yes, we want to hear what you have to say, but it has to be done correctly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're totally right on that. And really what you're teaching her is her boundaries. And so then that brings us to accepting no answers, right? So when a person disagrees appropriately, by the way, they look at the person or the situation, they keep a calm face, voice, and body. They say that they understand the other person's point of view. They share their point of view. They listen to what the person has to say. They say okay and drop the subject. And dropping the subject is the big one, right? So to stop engaging there.
And that's where small children struggle, usually.
Exactly. But this is where they now are accepting a no answer. At the end of it, well, if I don't get things my way, I have to accept a no answer. Like that's just how it goes because I can't get everything my way all the time and I got to let it go. And so accepting a no answer has four steps. You look at the person or the situation, you keep a calm face, voice, and body, you say, okay, or ask to disagree appropriately. I mean, unless this is the end of your disagree appropriately, then it's basically okay. And then you drop the subject. Drop the subject. So important. And so when she sees something that somebody else is doing and she says to them, hey, how about you give it back to this other person? They don't, you know, if she says, hey, Grayson, give this back to Arbor, that was hers. She was playing with it first. And she does it in a kind, sisterly, remind them, helpful way, which is very endearing, then great. But if that's not going to work, then she needs to accept the no answer that she can't handle it, and she needs to come and talk to mom about it.
Right. And like you said,
That's
that's a very
mom
mature mentality to have. And so, she's only 4 and a half. And
now.
so we have to teach that in a way that she understands.
Well, which really brings it to something. When you've got someone who's 4 years old and they're being bossy, guess what that means? You got to watch. You got to be there. You can't leave them alone
Can't
by
just say, go play.
themselves. Yeah, you don't just send them in a room with a bunch of 2-year-olds and expect them not to boss. Because if there is no parent around for them to
Then they will
appeal
become the
to,
parent.
they're gonna do it. They're going to do it. So don't put your child in a situation, right, where they don't see any other way except for to be bossy. Because if you put them in that situation and then you tell them, well, they were wrong for being bossy. Well, now hold on a minute. Did they have anyone there to help them? So this is why with young children, one of the big rules for young children is you keep them close, right? When, and that's a busy time for you, Paige. You got a baby on the way. You got 2 2-year-olds and a 4-year-old. All of those are ones that you kind of keep close. So now you're gonna have four little people that you're keeping close. I envision you spending a ton of time just in the playroom, just being
Or
there.
right outside on the couch with the newborn.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna feed the baby and watch you, but I'm right here, right outside the playroom, like little room, and you're just kind of watching what's going on because that is the only way you can train everyone all at the same time. And if you aren't there, you are going to get more frustrated because when you have to walk there and you don't know what's going on and you hear things happening,
And I just
or
assume.
yep, then you can assume and then you get stuck in the expectation trap.
Yes.
And that can be a thing, you know, that's really tough too. And I know you were mentioning to me before that that's something that you feel like probably Clara gets stuck in the expectation trap, but you get stuck there too.
I do. Yeah, and that's something I have recognized. Where, I expect, okay, I'm going to put my twins in the gated play area, and Clara, she's pretty good to just free roam. She doesn't really get into much. And so then I'll be able to do some dishes or get some cleaning done or hurry and go take a shower real fast, if I wasn't able to do that before they all woke up. And then when I hear noises mid-shower or while I'm doing dishes, crying and screaming or whatever, then I go, are you kidding? Can I not have 5 minutes to wash my body or to put these dirty dishes in the dishwasher, whatever it is? And so it's a lot of selfish thoughts, right? Like, okay, I was expecting to have this little moment where I could get this thing on my to-do list done.
Expecting, yes,
Yes,
expecting.
yes. And then it doesn't happen the way I was expecting it to go. And so then I allow myself to become frustrated, which is not, I mean, that's obviously something I'm working on. I'm definitely
You
not perfect at
entertain the
it.
wrong thoughts,
I
actually.
do. But there have been times where I catch myself and I go, you know what? Just breathe.
This is what I
It's
meant
okay.
for. This is who I am.
This'll take 30 seconds to handle, and then you can come right back.
There you go. See, you're telling yourself a
Right.
truth, which is different than the lie that came the at first,
Right,
right?
right. Especially when I hear my sons like crying or screaming, oh, that just scratches the inside of my brain in all the wrong ways. And so in the past, I have been very snappy with him. And in the past few days, there have been times where I hear it and I go, oh, but I go, nope, go down and tell him to take deep breaths. And so I do. I stand there doing my very best to have a calm face and a calm body and a
So
calm voice.
you challenge it in your own brain. You
I
make a
do, and I
plan
say,
for how
show
you're
me
going to
deep
behave.
breaths. Yeah, because then it's all over. And, because he knows how to take deep breaths, he'll stop mid-cry and go, and then he's good. Like 1 minute later, instead of me yelling at him or whatever it is, and him being all upset and now crying hardcore because now his mom's upset with him, and me feeling bad, but also feel like, look at me, I'm in control of the situation. He learned his lesson, which is, obviously not the right sentiment to have. But I'm like, oh, wow, oh, that just fixed that whole situation. Cool. Back to my dishes I go.
Well, because if you stopped, you said, I'm not going to go in the expectation trap. I'm going to follow my plan. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to now get him to go to calmness. So you start actually taking steps in a direction that's going to point everybody toward using their skills, toward using their front brain, instead of just emotionally reacting. Suddenly you're living on purpose, instead of just flying from emotion to emotion, which is basically being a slave to your emotions. And you are now actually like being honest with, okay, I am really being the real version of myself that I wanted to be. This is the true me that I want to do. And you get to find success there. Sometimes it might be harder than others, but I mean, look what you're doing. Paige, you're so incredibly vulnerable. And I know there's probably people that appreciate it. I think there's some people that probably come to teaching self-government and say stuff like, oh, well, yeah, easy for Nicolene Peck to said she say she probably has perfect children
Oh, heavens no.
and they're probably just perfect and everyone's perfect in her family. But what about some of us who aren't perfect? And it's like, well, hey, actually we're just humans, but can we bring ourselves back to the principles? Can we bring ourselves back to the skills? And I think it's really admirable, Paige, that you're able to say, listen, I know exactly what to do. I still mess up sometimes because I'm
I
pregnant, I
still
got
fight with my
hormones.
brain to choose the right thing sometimes.
Yeah, because you know what? You actually are a very emotionally charged person. You feel things deeply, you care deeply, you think deeply. You're a very passionate individual. You always have been. And that's one of your superpowers, but it's also your Achilles heel, right? And so you have to
Sometimes,
keep working. Yeah,
sometimes.
so you keep working through that. And I think it's beautiful that you allow people to hear your journey and to see you learn things and even to have, me tell you on here, actually, I wouldn't do it that way. I would probably do it this way. Because I think that helps people see. Oh yeah, that's a normal thought process someone would go through. Well, listen, you get to use your skills, to this far, but then not or whatever. And but see what it means. Is there another way to think outside of a box that maybe we're seeing? And is there how else can we see this? What other tools can we use? And that's the beauty of getting some coaching and stuff, which is what we do here at Teaching
100%.
Self-Government and one of the reasons that we do
And
these.
it's one of the best parts of this whole thing. We love being able to share these skills and love being able to share, okay, this is how it applies here. You might be feeling these thoughts while you go through this. Your children might react this way. Here's the actual step-by-step process that you can take to not fall into that trap again. And we know, and we can share these things with you honestly and truthfully because we might be right there with you. But we've been given these skills. We see that they work. And so we want to share them with you and encourage you that yes, they do work.
Yeah, obviously, you could have a bad moment, but you know what you didn't do, right? And that's one step in the right direction. And I love it. I love it. It does take a lot of willpower to be self-governed. That doesn't mean you have to be perfect. You just keep having to apply that willpower again and again. Focus on the truth. Don't be afraid of changing yourself and throwing
Letting go of
off,
that emotional entitlement.
that old habit, yep, that old way of processing and find yourself reprogramming yourself so that you can have better outcomes. It's possible, but it takes a little bit of work. And I'm so glad that you guys are on the journey with us. Just think of what would happen to the world if there were a whole bunch of people who weren't just getting sucked into all of the lies that they first tell themselves when they're feeling emotional, but instead they actually focus on what they can do and how they can overcome. I think of how many people wouldn't be just in victim roles, but instead would be leaders in their homes. And then what kind of children would they raise? It's just a beautiful thought for me. And it's why we do everything that we do here at Teaching Self-Government. It's been beautiful to be with you today, Paige. And I look forward to next time. It's been a joy, everybody, being here on the Teaching Self-Government podcast. Be
Agreed.
sure to look at the book Power of Calm. It's one of my latest books that have come out. There's also a three children's books called The Calm Crew that you can
Easy
look
for you
at.
to say.
I know, blah, blah, blah. Not really, right? Anyway, but those three books, they all teach about calmness and self-regulation, which is really some of the things that we're talking about here as we talk about how to handle bossy children. Thank you for joining us on this podcast, and we'll talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Teaching Self-Government podcast. For more information and resources to help unite your family, visit teachingselfgovernment.com.